Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of the show. We've been off for the last week, so we're back. Obviously, we've had a lot of international games, and we'll get to them in a bit. But this weekend, obviously, was the big weekend, the Manchester Derby. And, well, I'm going to pass it over to Ryan.
First game of the weekend, yeah. You know, City were by far the best team in the first half.
Right.
I think we can all attest to that. It was just the Kevin De Bruyne show. Just found all the pockets, all the space. Kind of showed us where we're lacking in the centre of midfield. A true kind of central midfielder that can actually track and hold midfield.
Right.
But, you know, give them their dues. They scored their two goals. We managed to kind of luckily get back in it. Zlatan doing his thing. But, yeah, it wasn't enough. Second half, actually, was really kind of proud of the performance.
Right.
We definitely played well. It was really cool to see how, you know, especially hearing from Pep after the game, like talking about how he knew exactly what United were going to do coming out second half. And then you saw him obviously make changes to bring Fernando on and kind of pack the midfield. And it was kind of a case of, I trust my defenders to hold out here.
Right.
And they had a couple of really good kind of counterattacks where they could have easily scored a third and a fourth. United had their chances too, so
I actually think the first half could be described as we were just completely shell-shocked. They just overwhelmed us.
Well, the thing that's really annoying, and I've seen this in a lot of games, even in the when we lost to them like a few years back, 6-1, the first 5 minutes, there's only one team in it. United were great. We spread the ball out wide. Rooney got on the ball, got it out to Valencia, got to the byline, put some crosses in. We won a couple of early corners, and you're thinking, this is great. And then we just go quiet for like 25, 30 minutes. And it's just kind of been the United way. But look, take nothing away from City. In my opinion, they, you know what, from what I saw, they probably deserve to win, which is painful for me to say. But, you know, still plenty of the season to go. They'll definitely slip up. They do look very, very good. Their first two games of the season, at least, I thought they were actually very lucky. Third game, I think they beat Stoke like 4-0. Very, very accomplished team. Right. Very well set up. And then obviously against us, they did what they had to do to win. And you kind of have to hold your hands up and say the better team won. So,
yeah. What do you guys think, Mark and Jeremy? I mean, introduce you guys.
For me, like Pep talked about how great Bravo was. For me, I thought he had, you know, several mistakes. I think there was definitely the one penalty we should have had.
Right.
You know, he went in studs up. Takes out Rooney.
It's all where you stand on interpretation, though, because to me, if I was a Man City player and that would have been given, I'd have just completely lost myself there. I'd have completely lost my head because, yes, it's a bad touch. What's he supposed to do? Just stand there and stand his ground? No, in my opinion, it is a 50-50. Did he come over the top of the ball? Yes.
For me, it was just the fact that it was studs up, it was a reckless tackle.
It was definitely reckless. I think it would have been very, very, I don't know, it was just one of those. Like, I want to say, yeah, absolute stonewall penalty being a United fan, but when I kind of saw it, I was hoping the ball would ricochet to somebody and we'd stick it in the net rather than that's a penalty. But obviously, you know, the laws change the interpretation of what's a dangerous tackle now. And if you see, look, we'll talk about it later on, but if you see the penalty that was given for Arsenal against Southampton in the last minute, I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, how's that a penalty and somebody coming flying out studs up isn't a penalty? I mean, they're complete polar opposites. Like, he wasn't trying to damage somebody in the Southampton Arsenal one. It's a shirt pull. It's for a minimal amount of time. I think it was on Giroud, right? Giroud goes down. and that and that's deemed as interfering in a goal scoring opportunity, but flying in studs up. In my opinion, neither of them are penalties. That's just the nature of the game. That's what you do. You fly in for 50-50s. It's a 50-50. Somebody wins, somebody doesn't. And tugging in the box and shirt pulling. I mean, you see it. You've seen it for years and years. I'm not sure why we're trying to stamp it out now.
Yeah.
I think it adds a little bit of flavor. It adds a bit of bite to a game. But, yeah, like I said, take nothing away. We can sit here and talk about... like Bravo, for me it wasn't a good debut for a goalkeeper.
That was probably the worst debut I've seen in the Prem in a long time.
And Pep wants to, you know, pat him on the back because he's doing all the things he wants him to do, like pass it out, stuff like that. He will be found wanting in this league doing that when he comes up against super quick forwards in the likes of Jamie Vardy.
Never thought Bravo was a good keeper. He's always been fortunate at Barcelona to have a really good 10 in front of him.
Yeah, I give you that. I mean, he must have something. Look, you don't go out and spend that amount of money if he doesn't have something. But for me, wasn't overly impressed.
Right.
Speaking of unimpressed, Pogba.
Right. I mean, where was he?
I think he was back in the Euro still.
Yeah.
Not playing for France.
And that's what I'm saying. This was my biggest fear. We spent £100 million, give or take, whatever the number is, on a central midfielder who's supposed to be an absolute world beater. And my biggest fear was, are we going to see... Those players need to grab a game like that by the scruff of the neck and be like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy to drag us over the finish line, even get us a 2-2. He had a great chance in the first half.
By the scruff of the neck,
and that's the only time I heard his name mentioned. I kept looking in the center of the park, and I see Fellaini doing a lot of donkey work.
Well, let me ask you this. In the Euro, it was a lot of talk that they played him more as the holding midfielder instead of the attacking one. Do you think maybe, especially against somebody that's not going to really challenge you, put him in attacking, pull Rooney out?
You do not pay £100 million for a holding midfielder.
Well, but what do you think? Hold Rooney, set Rooney a game, put Pogba in the attacking role, let him create, let him do his thing.
I'm not quite sure how to answer that, but I'm really impressed with Fellaini this year.
Yeah.
Does he track runners? Is he quick enough to do that? No. Does he give us a lot? There's a lot more positives than there are negatives to his game.
His work rate this season's fantastic.
But you look at the De Bruyne goal. Pogba never gets goal side, never tracks his runner, and he drifts into that little pocket of space. Bally never challenged for the header, and Iheanacho flicks it on. Mm. And a lot of people are saying Daily Blind's caught on his toes. You know what? Daily Blind's in exactly the spot he should be as a central midfielder, a central defender, covering his teammate who's gone to win the ball. It's up to Paul Pogba to track his man, put some pressure on him, and Daily Blind sweeps that up all day long.
Right.
If your central midfielder does not track his runner, that's going to happen all day. But what a great finish from De Bruyne. Yeah. So
don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPBC. You can get in contact with us on the home blower, 434-284-9470, or go to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And there is an email button there at the top, so let us know what you want to know, and we'll hopefully read them out, and you can talk smack to us. If you're a City fan, obviously you're going to be gloating.
We might not answer that call.
You were saying about, De Bruyne. It was a De Bruyne show. Surely we should have prepared our game around him, keeping him.
He's a hard player to cover. He can play comfortably on the wing and through the middle.
He plays between lines as well as anybody I've ever seen.
Right.
He transitions between the line of midfield and defense better than most midfielders that I've seen in the Premier League. Like, you listen to Paul Scholes say that there are only three world-class players in the Premier League, and they all play for City. De Bruyne is one of them. He just is.
Oh, guys, we got a phone call here. Hold on. Maybe we don't. Oh, it's flashing. It's flashing, everyone. Hold on. Hello, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. Who am I talking to?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
Can you hear me?
A little bit. You're cracking up.
Hold on. Is that better?
Let me get away from the radio. Maybe that'll help.
Yes.
There you go. Turn that down, buddy. What you got for us?
It's pretty tough still. Yeah, now I can't hear you guys at all. So how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, it's still pretty bad, but it's all right.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I guess it's not really a question, is, you know, you're a bunch of Reds, so I'm wondering how you feel about how Chelsea and Manchester City are doing so far this season.
Honestly, I think, like, with Costa today, he is looking dangerous.
And
I'm not a fan. I mean, if you're...
Nobody likes him. But right. I mean, there's no denying that guy does what he does.
Right. Exactly. I think he's definitely a threat.
They brought up a great point during the commentary during today's game. Like, do the pros outweigh the cons? Now, you can tell by... I thought Amat was actually really lucky to stay on the pitch today. Right. Obviously, targeted Costa, went through the back of him a couple of times. Same as Fernandez. But yeah, I mean, overall, Chelsea, I think Chelsea looked good. I think Man City looked good. Like I said, I mentioned a little earlier that especially City in their first two games were very lucky, I thought, to snatch victories. But then the two games since, obviously, they've really kind of adopted what Pep wants them to do, and they look very, very good. Same with Chelsea. Chelsea first two games, I thought, were very lucky. I know that I think they were like 1-0 down against Watford. With like 10 minutes to go and managed to turn that around. They had a late goal to win in their first game. But now they look pretty good. I know they drew today, which was kind of a crazy 5 minutes of football for Swansea, scoring the penalty and then... Well, I think we all know that that is a foul from Leroy Fer on Gary Cahill. I mean, he smashed his ankles twice and just ran through, stuck it in. But yeah, I think they look good. I think it's definitely... I think the three teams that we kind of mentioned are definitely going to be up there, United, City, and Chelsea. I just think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to go down to the wire. And I think, actually, a lot of the lower, like your lower half teams, are definitely going to have a massive impact on what happens this year.
Yeah. Who do you support, by the way? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still with you. I think it's interesting that all these projects are still early in their formation.
Right.
And we don't even know what is yet to come for any of them. I think Manchester City, the best is yet to come. I'm a blue, so I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm not all that impressed with United, and I would say that anyway, but as trying to be as impartial as possible, with all that talent, you would think you'd see a little bit more, but realizing it's still early days and there's a long way to go.
Our biggest,
Arsenal just embedding their two new players. You know, I always am afraid of Arsenal, and yet they always fail to click when it needs to happen. You know, winning two FA Cups 2 years ago or 3 years ago is great ambition for a smaller club, but a club like Arsenal should have higher sights. There's no excuse anymore.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that Arsenal supporters are tired of Arsene Wenger as much as the rest of us are.
Right.
But it's good. The league is in good form so far. I think the biggest thing to take away from this is that the EPL or the Premier League is going to return to being the top league in the world with all these great managers and all the great talent coming back.
What do you think?
Crown is going to disappear.
What do you think of Pep then?
What do I think of Pep? Well, you know, it's again such early days, and we don't have a fully fit squad yet.
Right.
So I like seeing the ball movement. I like seeing some of the technical stuff that you know. I'll be the first to admit I'm not the most keen on, but having this new manager, I'm reading more about it, and I'm currently reading Pep Confidential as well to try to better understand his philosophy. But the biggest thing to me is, as I watched the match yesterday. There were times watching City where the match would get away from us under Pellegrini, and all the players' chins would go down to their chest, and they were just done. You could tell they were done.
Yeah, you have the biggest difference.
So far, we've gotten away with our talent for so long, and now we have an actual manager who's going to put a system in place that will.
Yeah, you have
run over. I mean, United owned that second half. How they didn't get a result out of that, I'll never know, because they were clearly the better team in the second half. But you could tell it was like the system's in place. Just keep going with the system and things will be okay.
Well, the biggest thing with that is that Pep Guardiola, going in at 2-1 is exactly the same for him as going in at 2-0. He knew exactly what Mourinho was going to do the second half. Fellaini's going to go up top. We're going to start launching long balls. You saw him bring Fernando on to put an extra man in that midfield. I think they took Sterling off. Basically, what he's doing is what he's done at every single club he's kind of been, for the exception of Barcelona, because Barcelona never had to do it. But you get two goals up, or you score two goals in the first half, we're basically going to set up a little bit of a camp, and we have the players that can hit you on the counter-attack and hurt you. The amount of times that you see Bayern Munich, Barcelona end up running out 4-1 winners, 5-1 winners, strictly on that principle. They trust their defenders enough that they're going to put, that, you know, they're going to withhold the onslaught that was obviously coming from United. Obviously, we had to go for it. But having that extra man in midfield, and then the likes of De Bruyne, Silva, Sterling while he was still on, kind of breaking.
You didn't even have Aguero.
Well, that's it. And that, to me, that was actually their biggest benefit, because United had no idea. De Bruyne doesn't flick between the two lines if Aguero plays, because Aguero will stand, he'll drop, pick the ball up, lay it off, and spin around the back. De Bruyne was almost coming in and doing a lot of Iniesta's work, and Iniesta would actually come deeper than De Bruyne.
Yeah.
To just completely mix that up, and I think we absolutely really struggled with that. But yeah, Guardiola's got his tactics right. He knew what was coming, and he set it up perfectly. And like I said, you see in that game, late on in the second half, they had two or three chances to go 3-1 up, 4-1 up.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to hear Mourinho before the match. I don't know if you heard the commentary before the match when they had Mourinho and Guardiola speaking before the match started, and Mourinho was all about his tactics, and honestly, the special one got called out pretty early on there. He got it completely wrong, and they lost that match because he was completely wrong, which takes me right back to when he was managing Chelsea, when he came back, and he went to United and played against Moyes and showed no ambition against Moyes and should have beaten United on that day. They drew 0-0, and that cost him in the title run. And a guy like Mourinho, for all the glory that he's had in his past, honestly, I just don't see it, and I think it's a bad match. I think it's a bad match, Mourinho, with United.
Like you said before, it's early days, and only time will tell. I think we'll reevaluate come Christmas time and see where we're at.
What's your name?
It's Christian. It's nice talking with you guys.
Thank you very much indeed for your call, Christian. Appreciate
more,
it.
And we'll chat some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up again. Buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, we're going to have to run to a quick break here. The time is 20 after the hour. We'll be right back after these breaks. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much, Christian, for calling us. As much as we could talk about the derby all day, to be perfectly honest with you.
Let's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Move on.
Let's move on. Bournemouth versus West Bromwich Albion. Ryan, what did you think of the Callum Wilson goal?
I think that if Ronaldo or Messi would have scored it, we'd be talking about it all season. Fantastic finish. He's a great player. We didn't see a lot of him last year because he got injured, I think, like 5 games in. But I think he'd already scored like 4 goals. So I'm hoping this year is his year, because he's a very, very good player. I think, you know, come January, if he can stay fit, I think a lot of kind of bigger teams will definitely come in for him in January. Because that is a silky finish by anyone's standards. So, yeah, great result for Bournemouth as well. They needed that.
West Bromwich Albion are in trouble?
They just look shocking, don't they? Can't put the ball in the net. Just poor. Just really poor.
I feel like that's been coming for a while.
Yeah.
Well, they've always been one of those teams that I feel like just kind of make up the numbers.
Right.
This is the only year where I've actually felt serious that they could get relegated, from what I've seen so far. And like I said, it's still early doors, but it's just poor.
Like, you guys probably don't watch NASCAR, but it's like the 41st through the 43rd car. It's like three guys that are just there to round out the table.
Well, for the record, that just went completely over my head.
But, that's what I said.
Richard Petty.
All right, well, then let's move on. Mark's favorite team. He's going to love this. Arsenal versus Southampton.
Well, first I want to say I wish Jackie Boy Jack Wilshere I hope he gets his game back, because he is a very promising young talent, and I think this move is going to humble him and motivate him to become
back
that
again.
Player.
Yeah. What did you make of the game?
The Bournemouth game?
No, the Arsenal game.
The Arsenal game. Oh, well, I have two teams.
Wake up, Mark.
Oh, Jesus. I thought it was a silly foul to give away on the free kick. Monreal kind of came diving in. I felt like if he had just met the man, squared him up, we had players behind the ball for him to take a speculative shot. But
right.
He went to ground, and as soon as he went to ground, I'm looking over at my friend, and I'm like, they're going to score on this. And what happens? They do. Cech makes a beautiful save, hits off the bar, comes down, goes off his back into the net. I mean, it sums up the luck of Arsenal fans for the last 7 years at least.
Jeremy, do you have anything to say on the Arsenal game?
I got nothing.
Great goal from Koscielny.
By the way, just a reminder to everyone, you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench. We're all talking old banter soccer. Call us on 434-284-9470 or go to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And you can email us there if you want to send us a question. We'll read it out on air. Sorry, Ryan, I'm going to interrupt you there. What were you saying?
Yeah.
I think we need to talk about the penalty.
With the Arsenal, I got a couple of things with the Arsenal. So the first comment that was made there by our resident gooner was humbling Jack Wilshere. You still pay his wages, don't you? I'm not sure that's going to humble him too much if you're still paying him the 125 he makes a week. But I agree. He's definitely a talent, young talent. I'm sorry, but when you get to, what is he now, 25?
23, 24.
I think he's 25.
you're just 34.
You're 34. Just not young anymore. You're just not young anymore.
I think
and
it's
you should have proved yourself by now, and you should have that professional mentality. And I'm just not sure he does. I'm not sure. I could see him actually never returning to Arsenal. But anyway,
he
that's enough about...
Won't.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, anyway, but back to the game. Koscielny goal was fantastic. Tadic free kick was great. Like you said, absolute world-class save from Cech. It's just the most unlucky thing that can happen.
You've been a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? Has that situation ever happened to you or something similar?
To be honest, mate, I never got that close to them, those free kicks, yeah. No, I just watched them into the top corner and
when Petacek moves on from that, is it a mentality thing of right?
Oh, he knows.
To just focus.
No, he's seasoned enough to know that freaky stuff happens at least once every season to a goalkeeper. If anything, he's probably laughing a little bit that it happened so early in the game, it happened so early in the season, that he's like, oh, okay, my bad luck's kind of, you know, come and gone now. Yeah, thanks very much. But he knows it's a great save, and it's just one of those things.
As a keeper, you've got to have a short memory because you're going to get scored on. It's a fact of life.
You have to.
You move on.
Yeah, that's what's made him probably one of the best Premier League goalkeepers for the past 10 years. That ability to just block that out, move on. You've got a job to do. Total professional. Like, yeah, that wouldn't have affected him one bit. Yeah, is he frustrated and kind of annoyed at the time? Absolutely. But I guarantee 2 minutes later, he's like... And as soon as Koscielny scores, he's thinking, okay, in his mind, this is how they work. In his mind, he's not thinking it's 1-1, he's thinking it's 0-0.
Right.
Let's go again.
Yeah.
Start of the game. Let's go.
Scratch.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, they still got the points at the end of it. They still won.
Yeah, it was...
very controversial.
I think you know what? My biggest thing is Arsenal haven't started the season well, in my opinion. Yes, they got the 3 points yesterday. But it's so unconvincing. So unconvincing. When you look that Southampton have let go of, in my opinion, somebody in the same, not as good as De Bruyne, but does the same fundamental things as De Bruyne for Man City, yeah, in Mane, where he plays in between the lines very, very well. And Southampton don't have that. So Southampton were very kind of structured yesterday, and I think they had J. Rodriguez up front, who, you know, in my opinion, is probably still getting back to match fitness after being out for, a year?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that Southampton are still the football factory, if you like? Because they're just producing all these players and selling them.
I mean...
Luke Shaw...
I mean, Lallana, yeah, to a degree. I mean, you can only go with what we're seeing. And
right.
I mean, yeah, to a degree. I would agree with that. But they do have good players. They're a very good team. I think their business side of it is very good. I think they're very stable. But for me, when you lose Mane, when you lose a player that can run in between those lines and do what Mane did for him, and you lose that and you don't have anybody to replace it with, but you can still go 90 minutes against the Arsenal, at Arsenal, 1-1. And Arsenal, in my opinion, got very lucky with, we've already been over the holding and stuff for penalties, which are just, whatever, you see it every 5 minutes. So yeah, in my opinion, that's kind of a gift of a 3 points. But if I was still, if I was an Arsenal fan, yeah, you're leaving the ground happy you got 3 points, but you're still very unconvinced with you're seeing.
So, and I'm obviously not saying Arsenal's a title contender. You're never going to hear that come out of my mouth. But to be fair, I mean, the top teams, they find ways to win these types of games, correct?
Right. That's correct.
See, I, you know what?
I'm not saying they're title contenders.
But see, the thing about Southampton for me is I actually like Southampton. As a United fan, there's very few teams. There's Leicester City last year, obviously the goodwill that everyone was showing to them. But Southampton, it's one of the stadiums. The Saints Stadium is one of the places, St. Mary's. I'd love to visit. My sister lives in Southampton. You know what I mean? It's one of those places that I've always had a soft spot for Southampton. And I do wish them well. I hope they do well. I always do. Every year.
Yeah, they're a good. They're a good team. They're all right.
They're all right.
But back to your where you said like you know, and we all know like teams that win the championship, they win games like that. You find a weird
they
way to win. Yeah, you graft a win out. In my opinion, Arsenal didn't graft a win out there.
Yeah.
It's gifted in some respects. That. You know, somebody hasn't, Theo Walcott hasn't taken the game by the scruff of the neck, rounded three players and bent one in the top corner. Do you know what I mean? It's
truly,
it's a gift.
And that's what worries me.
And that's what should be worrying for Arsenal fans this year. In my opinion, I think Arsenal will be very lucky to finish in the top four from what I've seen so far.
I will say it was a great laugh this week when Alexis Sanchez came out and said he was as good as Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah. I saw that.
Craig Burley was like...
Yeah. Drug test needed at Arsenal for Sanchez, who's obviously been popping the E or something.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench, talking all things Premier League at the minute. You can contact us on 434-284-9470. Give us a ring. Who do you support? Are you a Southampton fan? Do you disagree with that? Or are you a City fan, Manchester City fan? Just give us a ring. Or if you want to contact us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench, and you can hit us up on the email button at the top of the page. All right, so next game, Middlesbrough versus Crystal Palace.
Alan Pardew,
he's still there. Drafted a win.
He's defying 2-1. All the odds, isn't he? I'll tell you what.
Hey, Benteke was a good move.
Benteke is a good
buy. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, I think it might have been the day before transfer deadline day. They acquired Benteke for something ridiculous, like 27.5 with like 5 million of add-ons. But yeah, Benteke, 16th minute, trademark header, great cross from Zaha.
That is the kicker, I think. Keeping Zaha, he could have gone to a lot of clubs.
I love the kid. I don't know what it is. And I know
that's just because he never fulfilled his potential.
Well, he just frustrates the heck out of me. Like, he's got all the talent in the world. But he's one of those players that will give you one decent game, like really, really good game, and then he disappears for three. And you just can't have any passengers in this league. You can't have any passengers. And then you've got, you know, he scored a very good goal. The Ayala header, actually, was, I think, better than Benteke's. That was an absolute great header. Middlesbrough, they're going to be a little bit upset, you know, playing at home, losing 2-1. But, yeah, I think Benteke with Zaha, if Zaha just keeps banging him in the box, Crystal Palace should be all right now, which frustrates me because my bet is obviously Alan Pardew to get sacked first. But, you know, I think he ground out a draw on this on the last game and somehow managed to win yesterday. So, yeah, fair do. Well done, Alan.
All right, so Burnley versus Hull. We got a draw there.
Yeah, that was actually a really good kind of finish to the... to the game. So you have Defoe scored in like the 72nd minute. Actually a really good goal. Question marks over the goalkeeper. Little flat on his feet. Hit it from 25 yards. It wasn't exactly an absolute boomer, but somehow snuck in the corner. And then Snodgrass doing what Snodgrass does. Great left foot. Reminiscent of early RJG get days in the 95th minute. So, yeah, great result. And you know what? Hull, going to be pretty happy with that. Four games in, 7 points. Not a bad return. So, yeah, actually, great, great result for Hull away from home.
Hull just seem to be grafting scores out here. They're just, I mean, okay, Burnley, you can't really.
Well,
but United, they held us.
Yeah, you got look, the Premier League, you got to be in it to win it, yeah? Burnley are in it. Hull are in it. You put up against who you got. They got to play them twice, get a result. And for me, Hull are doing exactly what they should be doing. And yeah, it was great to see. Look, they've lost one game out of four, and that was against United late on. So their fans are probably loving it. Away from home, going to Burnley, traveling from Hull. Yeah.
All right. So this one here was an absolute blast of goals. Tottenham versus Stoke. 20th versus the fourth. Fourth place finish. What do you think of that one?
Mark, what you got to say about the Spurs, mate?
Looked like they played well. I didn't get to see much of the game because they were playing at the same time as my Gunners. But I have a bunch of Tottenham friends that were making sure that they texted me all the results. First goal from Son was good. Second goal, also a decent goal. Dele Alli had a pretty good typical finish.
Right,
and I think the most important thing for them this weekend was the fact that Hurricane got on the score sheet.
That's definitely good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He needed that. And he actually joked after the game that he's really happy that he's scored this early on in a Premier League season.
Yeah.
Because the past two, he actually took him like 6-7 games to get on the thing, and then he just absolutely goes on a barnstormer. But Son, for me, Son was great. And you know what? Hearing an interview from him, he was actually, he's got a great attitude. He's got a great kind of mindset going in. He hadn't played all season. He'd kind of been a fringe player. He got his chance, and he said, I've been itching to play. I've been working hard in training. I've got my chance. I'm going to take it. And he scored two very, very good goals.
Didn't he actually skip his international to train?
I believe so, yeah.
Game, I think.
That tells you everything you need to know about the guy as a professional. That's brilliant. So, anyway, guys, just in case you forgot, you tuned in to Blokes on the Bench, you can call us at 434-284-9470 or visit us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
Awesome. So, I mean, the next game was West Ham versus Watford.
Weirdest game of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
This will be the weirdest game of the season.
What went on there?
That's got to be the
sickest assist I've seen.
I don't think there's going to be a better one this year.
Filthy.
Yeah, but it means nothing.
It was filthy.
But it means nothing.
Right.
It means nothing.
I
mean, that's what I'm saying. They broke out kind of the showboating in the first half in like the 30th minute. It's like, for me, I don't know. It's just, it's bad. And then N'Golo scored a typical N'Golo goal. Troy Deeney goal was
cheeky.
Sick. Sick finish. Again, if Messi or Ronaldo would have scored that, we'd be talking about it for 6 months.
Fantastic.
You
think he goes anywhere this year or next?
Who's that?
Troy Deeney.
No, he just signed a massive contract, didn't he? I think I said in week one, mate, he's Watford for life now.
Yeah.
And they stuck by, you know what? And the reason that he'll be there for life is they stuck by him during his trial a few years ago, and he did a bit of time, came back, still had the same pay, still had the same contract. You know, he did his time, came back, and he's doing everything he can for the fans and the club. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, it was a shocking result, though.
Yeah.
Watford.
And how is Kapu keep scoring? What's going on there? That's like his third goal of the season. And at the start of the year, I was like, this is like one of the worst midfielders in the world. And he scored like 3 goals in 4 games. Can't believe it.
All right, so the next game. Liverpool versus Leicester City. I'm sorry, but Liverpool are incredibly entertaining to watch. And I'm a Manchester United fan.
Oh, wash your mouth out.
Yeah.
Andy, no more talking.
You're
no
done.
More talking.
Turn his mic off, somebody, will you? But yeah, Liverpool, Leicester. I think we all said it at the start of the year. Leicester, I think we all said the same kind of number, 7th or 8th. I think they will be around there. everybody kind of knows what to expect. Other teams have just stepped up. They won the league. You have to go and buy. You have to go and be like, we won the Premier League. These are the European players out there that are available. Let's go buy some of them. They haven't really. And then you've got, you know, Liverpool that have gone out and bought, like, Mane. It was a fantastic buy. That goal, that Mane goal, the back heel from Sturridge, it's a bit untidy finish. Goes in off the keeper, doesn't look as good. But when you watch the team, the build-up to that goal, the finish, like, it's right. a great goal.
All of those goals were great build-up goals.
Yeah.
The other problem with Leicester is, like, when you win the Premier League, and it's, like, July, August, like, that is the pinnacle. That you're kind of like a big... You're a big sign saying, hey, come play for us. We've won the league. This year, if they drop... There's no attraction there to come to play. Okay, it's the Premier League. If they stay in the Premier League, you're going to attract people.
You only have to look at what was in the media and what was going on around the club, where it was what players are going to leave, not who's coming in.
So nobody wants to come.
Yeah, it's like nobody wants to come there, but who's going to leave? And it's, you know. Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Talk more about the Liverpool game. It is 20 to the hour. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. The Liverpool game. Ryan?
One of the funniest things that actually came from the Liverpool game was the Vardy goal in the 38th minute. Lucas Leiva dallying on the ball, didn't know what to do with it. He tries to take a touch and toe pokes it towards one of the forwards and then panics and just smashes it across the 6-yard box to Vardy, who put it into an empty net. But one of the best, I think, you know, if that game would have finished any different, you wouldn't have heard anything from him, but they ran out 4-1 winners, and then after the game he says it's the first assist he's had in 10 years.
True.
So
Let's talk about the Lallana goal.
Lallana, yeah.
Lallana.
Great
Lallana?
Finish.
She's Lallana. Lallana. Yeah, Adam Lallana. That was a beautiful goal. You see, the two goals over this weekend, I would say Zlatan's goal and Lallana's goal, they were rockets, but it's almost like they moved at a slow motion pace. It was like, ooh.
Look, Lallana's coming off a bag of confidence right now, self confidence. Scored the winner for England in the international break. Scored that. That's a great finish.
Yeah.
Great finish. And he had no time. It was split decision. He couldn't take a touch. Just rocket straight in the top corner. You can't. Zlatan's goal wasn't that great. I mean, it's great technique, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not in the same league.
But it was powerful enough.
If only he'd have done that 2 minutes before halftime when Lingard fed him the ball.
Right.
That Lingard's something. Right.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. Shame he was shocking for 35 minutes.
All right, let's move on to Swansea versus Chelsea, the game that was played today.
Really strange game.
Yeah.
Really weird.
The game was basically decided in about 3 minutes.
It was just weird. You have Chelsea, Diego Costa scored a great goal, great finish after, I think it was 18th minute. And they go in at the half, 1-0 up with like 72% possession or something like that. Just dominating. I don't think Swansea had one shot. I think it was Sigurdsson and everyone was getting excited about it. It was never anywhere near doing anything.
Swansea only had 2 shots on target.
Yeah, and it was the most ridiculous 60 seconds of football you'll see all season, where they win a penalty, Sigurdsson scores, and then Leroy Fer hacks down Gary Cahill twice in the matter of like a nanosecond, and then manages to force the ball under Courtois.
Should have Courtois been sent off?
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's not a sending off. You're going away from goal. You've got a defender that is behind the line of play. Yeah, it's a yellow card.
So he did. I mean,
yeah. With the new rules this year, you can't. It's not. There's no. I don't know what they call it now. I want to say double jeopardy, but I don't think that's right. Like you can't have a penalty which is classed as a goal and a red card. Look, he has to come out and basically break the guy's legs and be the only person around him within, like, 30 yards for it to be a red card. In theory, with the new law, the penalty and a yellow card is justified, and I totally agree. So
yeah.
Well, that's the end of the games this week.
Let's just say about, Costa went for a...
Bicycle kick,
deflected.
There was an interesting point that brought up, though, about that bicycle kick. Should that have been a foul?
Half of the referees in the league would have called that goal off.
What's your opinion?
Look, if it's legal to do a bicycle kick, then it's legal to do a bicycle kick.
Yeah,
if somebody wants to put their head there and try and block it, that's up to them. For me, it's not dangerous. If you're going
to
allow people
to do it,
you have to allow people to do it. Zlatan does it all the time. Are you going to say Koscielny's goal should have been ruled off because his foot was deemed, if you want to call it, that it's dangerous play, like he's not in control of what he's doing? I'm sorry, but anybody that scores a bicycle kick is in complete control of what their foot is doing.
It's interesting because I liken it a little bit to high sticking in hockey. You know, where there's a clear...
The two English people at the end here.
Yeah,
right?
we're just having our own
conversation.
What is that?
Okay. So you guys don't watch NASCAR or hockey?
No.
Sorry about that, folks. But yeah, carry on, Mark.
Just saying, like, in high sticking, like, or dangerous play, it's similar, but I feel like with dangerous play, there's a lot more gray area. And hell, I'm glad that they didn't call, you know, any kind of interference on Koscielny's goal because we would have lost the game.
Well, with that awkward silence, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can call us on 434-284-9470 or go to your Facebook page at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Talk all things soccer. And if you want to bring up anything irrelevant, like, say, to do with other sports, you can bring it up. I'm kidding, Mark.
Guys give us a hard time about the hockey and the NASCAR, but you're calling it soccer. It's football, guys.
Yeah, I know. We're just trying to...
We're going to pass it over to you, Jeremy. Fans. The league
results? I don't want to talk America. I want to talk Europe.
Hold on. We still have one game that's coming up tomorrow.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
I've got that on my fixtures for next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Thinking ahead, using the old number.
Back to Europe.
Go ahead.
So, guys, Champions League is back this week.
Love
Come on, you foxes.
Those midweek
United
games.
United aren't in it.
They call the champions.
The champions. Okay. Barcelona and Celtic. We got Tottenham, who's finally there, against Monaco. Juventus has Sevilla.
When are these games, by the way?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Barcelona's Tuesday. Tottenham's Wednesday. Juventus is Wednesday. Madrid is Wednesday versus Lisbon. Speaking of Madrid, Ronaldo came back yesterday, hit it 6 minutes in.
Yeah, wasted no time coming back, that boy.
And then if we're talking about Europe, you got to talk about the Europa, baby. Man United.
Versus the ever-wonderful Feyenoord of Rotterdam.
Oh, yeah, final.
RVP.
Whoop.
But that's it for this week in Europe.
Any results?
We play PSG. That's going to be a big
one. Well, I think the biggest result in Europe that everyone's talking about this weekend is Barcelona losing 2-1.
Insane.
Yeah, just ridiculous.
Good.
It kind of shows, you know, the fortress can be broken.
Just football, isn't it?
Just football.
So before we get to the UVA stuff, any sort of international games that the U.S. were playing?
U.S. played in the Hex last week, some World Cup qualifying stuff. Kind of, you know, good wins, a 4-0 and a 6-0, but when you're playing the likes of Trinidad and Tobago and St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Hey, don't knock Trinidad and Tobago. They gave us one of the best forwards we've ever had in Dwight York.
But I will say, Sasha Kljestan has been phenomenal for the U.S. here lately.
Hmm.
And then also, speaking of the U.S., everybody's heard by now. Yeah. Landy Cakes is back. Donovan.
Shocking. What is going on?
And Sidney LaRue had a baby.
Oh, my God.
Welcome, Cassius Cruz.
So Dwyer. What was behind that move? Or not move, but bringing him back? What?
Over the transfer window, they had brought in Nigel De Jong last, I guess, transfer window. And he left, went back to Europe. I think they've had several injuries. I think Robbie Keane got hurt. A lot of their big names and he felt like he could help the team.
Oh, my God. It's the equivalent of Peggy Mitchell returning to Albert Square for all those
Peggy Mitchell.
Yeah.
What a lady.
Now I've left those two stumped. No, they don't
so
have
I'm
stumped.
About as lost on the Peggy Mitchell reference as you all are on the NASCAR.
Check out my Instagram.
Any people listening?
Okay, we're
kind
of getting off topic here, guys. So let's talk about one more thing about international football. Rashford was playing for the under 20. Was it the under 18s or under 21s?
U21s.
And he had a hat trick. Should he be now? Should Sam Allardyce be going, you know what? Okay, the press, the British press, like, they will rip you apart. But shouldn't he not be going, you know what? I think we should put him in there.
The truth of the matter is, if England senior team were doing anything, you would keep him at the under-21s, develop his game, let him keep progressing. The fact of the matter is that the senior team...
Dire straits.
...is just shocking to watch. Shocking. This kid picks up a ball, and all he thinks about is going forward. I want to take on as many players as I think I can, and then I'm going to distribute the ball, or I'm going to shoot. And that is exactly what the England senior team need. In my opinion, I think it would be great if England were sufficient enough that we could integrate him into the team slowly. In my opinion, we should almost build the team around this kid,
right?
Because he's just absolutely formidable.
And they're not going to. They're not going to. Let's face it. United aren't going to build a team around him with the likes of Zlatan and Pogba and stuff in the team.
No, they won't.
When should
In 18 months, they will. In 18 months, that team will be built around that kid.
Yeah.
And he knows that. He knows that. He's been told that, and he knows that.
Yeah.
So he's just learning everything. He's soaking everything he can from Zlatan, soaking everything he can from Wayne Rooney, the experienced players. And this kid is going to be absolutely...
Back to England, I would love to see them just in, you know, one of these Trinidad and Tobago-type games play 11 of the young guys that are killing in the Premier League right now. Give the youth a shot and let them see what they can do, because, like you said, it's shocking to watch them right now.
Look, the worst thing about England right now, the senior team, is that we still pick by what we think is the best 11, and it's by name purely.
Purely. Pedigree.
Purely by name.
I think
in my opinion,
change that.
He hasn't.
But he didn't. He had his chance, and he could have really shook the international world up, for especially for English football, by, you know, not playing certain players. Harry Kane has not been very good. Don't play him. Jamie Vardy, in my opinion, this opening three games, hasn't been very good. You got the likes of Rashford.
Sturridge.
Yeah, you know, he could have really shook things up. And you've got somebody like Mark Noble, who plays in the centre of the park for West Ham, has done for 10-odd years, who consistently gives 110% every time he puts a football jersey on. Every single time. Are you telling me he shouldn't be in there? Danny Drinkwater for Leicester City.
Yeah.
Give him an England shirt, because you know what? To those two players, it means something. It means something. Not to... Look, Wayne Rooney, I think he's now the most capped outfield player at like 121 caps or something like that. Look, does another shirt going up in his wall really mean anything to him? I'm not sure it does. I'd like to think it does, but the performance doesn't show me that it does.
Yeah.
That's my thought on it.
So what? Okay, we could talk about the England squad all day. Talk about the UVA games that have been just played.
It's been a rough weekend. The ladies lost today. They played Georgetown, 20th in the nation. UVA was third. First time they've been scored on this season. Gave up 3 goals. Lost 3-2. The men lost in overtime last night to Wake Forest, opening ACC play. But the women did get a nice 5-0 win over Richmond on Tuesday. So hopefully we'll see them turn it around, pick it back up, going into next week.
Do you have any coming fixtures? I'll take that as a no. I'll tell you what, we'll get on with the fixtures to do with the Premier League. Obviously tomorrow, Monday, we do have a Monday game. Sunderland play Everton.
David
at 3 p.m.
Moyes returned to his old stomping grounds.
Always an Evertonian.
I think that would be actually a good game.
Barn Burner's coming up Friday. Chelsea versus Liverpool.
That's a great Friday fixture.
Barn Burner right there.
Yeah, that's probably the highlight of the weekend.
Saturday we have Hull at home to basically play Arsenal.
I'm going for a Hull win. I'm sorry,
yeah,
mate.
4-0. Leicester City versus Burnley.
I'm going for a Burnley win.
Manchester City at home to Bournemouth. The Champions.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think City are going to absolutely annihilate them.
Come on, Jackie boy.
The two Westies. West Bromwich versus West Ham.
It's going to be a boring 0-0, that, folks. get your $2 bet on that.
And then Everton again. are playing Middlesbrough. What's going on there?
No, that can't be. Yeah, because this is Monday.
Yeah, that's
night.
A Monday, right? That, yeah. Well, that's. I mean, that's. Is that not? I mean, that could
that's
be
fine.
Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough
they're not
favorite.
In Europe.
Yeah, it's fine.
If Everton have been playing, you know, another game in the week, I mean, could Middlesbrough use that to their advantage?
Look, they get an extra day of training. That definitely helps. But look, it's these guys are conditioned to be able to play literally 2-3 games a week if they need to. Right. And Everton's squad actually isn't that bad this year, like in depth. So, you know, they can rest a couple of people maybe for that game. I think that's actually the late kickoff as well, which actually means a lot.
Right. You know, what does that? What do you mean by that?
The late kickoff. So you have. So in England, they'll play at 5:30 in the evening instead of 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And believe me, that 2.5 hours can make all the difference in the world if you've played on a Monday night.
So just kind of relax.
Not that I know from experience, but I can only imagine, like, conditioning wise, yeah, it makes all the difference in the world.
What about? So let's move on to the Sunday games. Watford, Man United.
I can see us actually getting a draw there.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I agree.
At Watford, yeah. I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I think we're just falling back into our old,
Van Alwes?
Yeah. No. I think, honestly, we played really well second half, but Watford at home, it's not an easy place to go. If we come out of that with a scrappy 1-0 and everyone's still going, oh, what's going on at United, I'll be more than happy with that.
And what about Crystal Palace versus Stoke?
That is an interesting game because Stoke really need to win. And I tell you, why do I always call it Salas Perk?
So I'm thinking of Friends. Germany.
I'm thinking of Friends and Central Perk. Salas Park is not a place you want to go when you need a win, especially with Crystal Palace coming off the back of a 2-1 win. Right. You know, Benteke's got his first goal. He's probably
brimming with confidence.
Yeah, same with Zaha with a goal and an assist.
So, I mean, if you're Alan Pardew right now, are you feeling a little bit smug? Like,
you're feeling like the waters have calmed down a little bit.
Right.
They're not as treacherous as they were.
And that's where transfer windows really do make all the difference.
And how crazy is this that we're talking about this? The guy got to the FA Cup final last year.
Did his little dance.
And, you know, this is the modern game where literally 3 or 4 games in, you can be scrutinized about potentially losing your job. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous, but that's the world we live in.
It's
now.
Not like that in any other sport either.
Yeah. Well, maybe the NFL. I mean, is it not?
No.
So what about Southampton versus Swansea? Swansea!
I'm going
the
draw.
Welsh.
I'll go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, that sounds like a draw.
Okay. Spurs, Tottenham Hotspurs versus Sunderland. Tottenham.
Go Sunderland.
Tottenham are going to absolutely do them like 4-0. put a ten schnut on that. I'm telling you, 10 schnut on 4-0.
Jeremy, did you get those results, the fixtures yet?
Oh, yeah, I did. I was just letting you guys finish.
Yeah, of course you were. Go ahead.
So the men are back in action the 14th against VCU. And then on Saturday, the 17th, they've got Clemson, another ACC fixture.
I'm modern.
Anymore?
And the women as well will be back in action. Roaring to go. On Friday. Friday night soccer. Big rivals, Virginia Tech.
Are these at home?
All home.
Oh.
Get yourself down there.
Exactly.
Massive rivalry. Come on.
All right, guys. That's about it for this week. I obviously want to thank Ryan, Jeremy, and Mark for being here. We'll see you again next week. Take it easy, guys.
Later, folks.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.